kick centre bounce and the ruckman crash on in.
When you get smashed in centre bounce, it just puts you on the back foot.
Crawley, Jordy McKenzie, all on the wing. McDonald runs with the football. Tyson takes it. Handball to Viney.
They're moving the ball as well as any. When you get time and space and their willingness to really go fast.
They are so pure, so beautiful to watch with the footy.
On Halftime, pure footy.
For the 2015 Champion Data AFL Prospectus Gold Emboss, there's nothing like a Gold Emboss edition. They bring us Glenn Luff every week. Hello, Luffy.
Daniel, how are you?
Very, very well. Thank you. That's good. It's great to have you on board. For berriesonline.com.au, all soft, fresh, absolutely delicious. They are unbelievable. And JBC Carpentry, rebuilding the North one per goal at a time. David King, the world's greatest footy analyst. Hello, Kingy.
G'day, boys. Big news.
What's happened?
With my boys.
JP?
JPC. Well, that formerly known as Rebuilding the North.
It was a long number, wasn't it? It was just
hard to work. I didn't even know his number myself. So it was just a hard one. And our main man, Gavin Scholes from Telstra Phoneworks, has come through. Good old Scholesy.
Yeah.
And he's come up with 1-300-4, the number four.
The number four.
Tradie.
1-300 for Tradie. Is that JPC's?
Don't worry about JPC anymore. 1-300 for Tradie.
What a great number that is.
What a ripping number.
1-300 for Tradie, rebuilding the North one per goal at a time.
And I asked him about 1-300 reluctant hero, and he's looking into it for me.
That's what I want.
0-4 reluctant hero.
I'm not sure the number's up and going just yet. So don't ring him just yet.
Give him a buzz.
I don't know if it's on yet.
Just give him a buzz. Just see how he's going. 1-300
number.
Yeah. Might end up overseas.
Boys, we've got a lot to talk about today. Heaps to talk about. I want to open up the batting with the Melbourne Football Club. Ooh. Heard a very interesting comment yesterday, Kingy, and it was relayed in the press today. And I think it may have even been mentioned post-match from Roosie, where he was talking about how his young players, we've got a really young group and they're clearly starting to feel the pinch. Is it still round seven? It's not 17 all of a sudden, is it? It's round seven. You can't be feeling the pinch at round seven, can we?
Well, how young are they?
Well, I don't know. Well, I think this is probably a question for you without notice. Would you have the age groups of the teams on the weekend, like an average age type situation for the teams on the weekend?
From memory?
Glenn, you don't read from memory.
You've got a computer in front of you. Don't go from memory.
They were the ninth oldest on the weekend. So we had Sydney, North, Freo, the top three. And the three youngest were, or the four youngest were Brisbane, Giants, Suns, and Richmond, which is interesting. So Melbourne mid table last week.
Surprising. Oh, Richmond played all the kids last week. That was a gutsy move too, wasn't it? But so if they're the ninth, if they're mid table with experience and age, how could they be getting tired after 2 months?
Can't be getting tired after 7 weeks. Surely. I know it's a difficult game. I understand the modern footy is a very, very taxing game physically. But 7 weeks in, you can't be feeling the pinch. It's a long way to go.
You were bullish, Kingy, at the start of the year on the D's. Where's your thinking at the moment?
Well, I'm disappointed with them because they really haven't come on like I thought they would with their ability to win the ball back higher up the field and to score more freely. I thought they'd play a faster brand of footy, Luffy. And
didn't we see that early?
We did
for 1 week.
Oh, well, yeah, really. Yeah.
So the last 6 weeks.
Have you noticed since I bagged him last week about the Adelaide Crows, how he's fallen off that bandwagon? Now he's coming at me with the Melbourne scenario straight off.
Adelaide are 5-2 with the biggest injury list in the competition. Yeah. Second biggest injury
getting
list.
Getting back
in the
to Melbourne. But anyway.
So the D, since the Gold Coast game, so the last 6 weeks, they've scored in the 50s.
Yes.
For five of the 6 weeks, they're averaging 57 points per game since that time. That's two goals less than Brisbane, who are ranked 7-8. Now, the ball movement, this is the thing I wanted to see, that chain diversion that we talk about. And we know from each zone, getting it into inside 50 last year, they ranked 17, 18, 18, 18. This year, 16, 18, 18, 18. Not much has changed. And the actual percentages of converting a chain into an inside 50 from D50 and defensive mid have actually dropped. So, nothing. They have had a hard draw. There's no doubt about that. Played Sydney, Freo and Hawthorn in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Mm.
But, I mean, at what stage can you say, they've had a hard draw? I mean, do we go to round 10 and say, they've had a hard draw? I mean, that's nearly half the competition. So I'm a little concerned about the ball movement and their ability to score. Their accuracy has cost them as well. They're only going at 50.8%.
Yep.
But they just have to improve that ball movement, King.
What's their next month, Huff? I think we've got to put them on the radar. Everyone is talking about Mick Malthouse. They're talking about Damien Hardwick. They're assessing what's going on with Rodney Eade pretty heavily. I think the Paul Roos discussion will be a fascinating one. How it's gone, what have been the successes on field. The club was a basket case when he went there. Let's
no
be honest.
Doubt about
it was,
that.
It was absolute ground zero, absolute rock bottom. So he had to start from absolute scratch. But it's been a long, slow climb that hasn't really got rolling, let's be honest. I thought at the start of this year, given their preseason, they were fantastic through the preseason, and people say, oh, well, it's only a preseason, you don't learn anything. But it appeared that they were going to play a faster brand of football, and that's gone within a month and a half.
Do you think they're still trying?
Well,
or they've gone into their shells a bit?
Well, they keep talking about that, players go back into their shell. But if you've got a strong brand, aren't you encouraged to just keep going and going and going, regardless of whether you make mistakes? I'd rather them lose by 100 points trying to kick 100 than see them hang in games and stay in games through this boring, simplistic game that is seeing them only kick, you know, maximum 10 to 12 goals a week. I just think it's... I'm not sure it's taking them anywhere at the moment. We want to look at their next month, Huff. What's their next month?
I'll give you the next month.
We can't judge them off the back of those three games you talked about, Hawthorn, Sydney and Fremantle. You just can't do that. It's unfair.
The Western Bulldogs and the MCG this Sunday, of course.
Well, should they be winning that?
Not on the Western Bulldogs' recent form, no.
Okay.
But it's hard to tip these days. Port Adelaide at TIO Traeger Park. That's in the Alice, Traeger Park. So good luck there. Collingwood at the MCG. Another difficult encounter. St Kilda at Etihad, the fourth week, and then before the bye, they got the round 13 bye. They've got the Cats at Simmons Stadium. So it's going to be a difficult 5 weeks for these.
We can't keep saying that every game is difficult.
Absolutely.
We can't.
Yeah, because the Bulldogs have had a tough start, and they've been really, really good against good opposition. So
the Bulldogs sacked their coach 6 months ago, so let's not make out everything's perfect by comparison. You know, St Kilda are at the bottom end of a rebuild. They're only just starting to, you know, turn the curve now. I think we'll judge them on the Bulldogs game and the St Kilda game, which is, what, 3 weeks away, Half, I think you said?
Yes, correct.
So let's do that. Let's put that on the radar because they've invested heavily in Roosey. I mean, there's a significant portion of finance going to Paul and what he needs to bring, and there's the mentor role that he's having with Simon Goodwin. Is it ready for the complete handover? What would happen if they handed it over? Does Goody actually need to start again with a different brand? Is this taking them? They're the sort of questions we're going to ask, I think, in 2 or 3 weeks.
We talked about their defence improving last year, and it blew out in the second half of the season. But their points against has blown out to 97.4 this year, which is ranked 14th. Now, this time last year, they were conceding 78.6. So that's nearly 20 points. So that the strength of theirs last year was the defence, and we're all... you know, lauding him for that. But I don't know. I think you're right, Kingy. Let's revisit in a month to see.
We'll just put them on notice. We'll put them on notice. They 18th for inside 50s, the Ds.
Well, that gets back to that chain conversion ball movement.
Can I talk about that, though? When you talk about your brand of footy, they have to involve strength areas. That becomes your brand. This is who we are. This is what we do well.
Yep.
You'll see this from us. They win the ball back, and I'm a big believer in this stat that you've come up with, where you win the ball back, how far from your goal to actually win it back. They win it back the furthest of anyone in the competition. So they defend deep.
Defending deep.
And they're not winning it back in their forward half, therefore you don't score.
Which is what we saw in the last year, wasn't it? They were defending really deep.
Exactly. And they can't move the ball.
Yeah.
So you look at it and you say, if you can't move the ball, why would you defend deep? Now, that's a really simplistic way of looking at it. But this problem's been the same for... best part of 2 years.
Yep.
So something's got to give. And it's not working. As simple as that, it's not working. When you look at some of the other teams that defend deep, you're talking about North Melbourne. They can score on counterpunts, top three in the comp from going defensive half to a score. You've got some of the poorer teams down here because you're losing the ball more often than not. But they're all younger teams, and that's the age demographic you get back to, Luffy. So for me, there's big problems at Melbourne still.
Yeah, well, they're on notice. They're on a pure footy notice, the D's. We'll give them a month to sort themselves out.
And Luffy's angry.
Just on that, Hawthorn win it back closest to goal.
Yep.
Then you've got Collingwood, West Coast. West Coast press and the way they've defended has been very, very good this year. And then you've got Fremantle, Adelaide and the Giants and Richmond. Now, Richmond do win it back in their forward half. They've just struggled to convert. So the North Melbourne are the interesting one, Kingy.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what happened last year as well. No, not as drastic as this, but it's more about quality than quantity with the Roos. I mean, that, from defensive half, they're top four in converting to score. Centre bounce, they're the same. And forward half, they are. So they've won it back in their forward half the least of anyone in the competition. So if you talk about, you know, your press and winning it back on turnover.
They're tall in the forward line, though, aren't they?
So, so what that promotes is that you've got an open forward line. So they are efficient when they go in. So their ability to convert is very, very good at the moment. But is it sustainable to win the ultimate prize?
Well, I think it's strength versus into another strength, though. Because they can counterpunch, they've got a great brand of footy on the way out. It's exciting, it's quick, and it looks fantastic, and it goes on the scoreboard. And they've got a forward line that functions well. I think they were the number one forward line for turning an inside 50 into a score last year.
Yeah.
So that all works. So they can afford to defend deep. So for me, it's a tick. Is it sustainable? Does it win big games? You can argue that. But some of the other modes just simply don't work.
Let's talk more about the modes after the break. 20 past 12 on Pure Footy on halftime. Kingy is with us, Luffy as well.
And I want to talk Nat 5.
And Nat 5, who plays game number 100 on the weekend, is a topic for discussion. If you want to have your say, give us a call. Off the SMS, they're suggesting a new number for us here at SEN.
What are we
calling 1300 sample size.
Sample size.
It's not the official number of SEN, but
I
give it a call.
If you can get Reluctant Hero, would that just be too big? Imagine typing that.
That would be very hard, very long. And this one for Paul Ruse off the SMS. Fletcher's 40. We don't want to hear about young blokes being tied. Give me a spell. 23 past 12 on Pure Footy. We are very, very keen for you to hang around and be a part of the program. 9429-1116. David King, the world's greatest footy analyst. Glenn Luff, the Reluctant Hero. From championdata.com.au. I just want to play. We'll talk more about modes of footy shortly, but this was Derm on the 100 gamer this weekend, who is leading all discussions in regards to awards, even though it's only round 7. He may be fatigued. We're not quite sure. Derm on at Nat 5.
People have been raving about how good Nat 5's year has been, and I've been saying, yeah, it's really good, really good. Yeah. Watched his game on the weekend. That's the best one he's played. And if he's played, I probably haven't seen 2 out of his 7 games. If he's played a better one in those 2, it must have been extraordinary. It was the closest thing I've seen to Kuta since Kuta vacated the body that let him play the way he used to.
By the way, Kuta's rig at the minute looking unbelievable. But that was Derm on Nat 5.
Since 5 came into the competition, I've always wondered who he plays like. And I've always thought James Hurd, because the way Hurd he got the ball was very, very good in the air and at ground level. Mm. But his kicking wasn't, you know, it wasn't elite. And Fife's kicking isn't great, although it has improved this year. But that Kuta comparison, I think he got it right 100%. I went back into the history of champion data, so 99. Because I think he's the most rounded ball getter I've seen. So up in the air,
Kuta,
and at ground level. No, Fife.
Right.
So I had a look to see what players ranked in the top 10 of the comp for ground balls and contested marks. And there's only one, and that was Kuta back in 2000. Fife this year is 3rd for ground ball and 1 for contested marks.
One.
In 2011, Fife, he's a 19-year-old kid at this stage, ranked 13th for ground ball gets and 5th for contested marks as a 19-year-old. Now, this guy, you watch him, the ball's in the area,
he just gets
amazing how many times he gets the ball. And he's 12 up in contested footy on the next player in the competition. So I thought that comparison that Derm gave was spot on.
King, he's just leading the AFL Coaches Association Champion Player of the Year award by 22 after the 7 rounds. So he's paddling a touch. How much better is there left in that 5? He says he's got plenty left.
Well, he probably has. I mean, his conversion at goal, his set shot kicking is not great. But he's actually marking the ball inside forward 50 now, which I think has been the biggest change for him. They're using him more in the forward half. He's understanding more of the running patterns, I think, that are required to actually get on the end of a few possessions in the forward line. And that's been the biggest change. I mean, when you look at the Fremantle history in recent games at the MCG, they've lacked that star to go forward and help Pav out. He did it in a grand final and missed those opportunities.
Yes.
And we all just said, oh, he's failed in the big game and he's let them down, he's cost them the grand final. We labelled him with all these things. At that stage, he wasn't going forward. Now he's going forward. I think he's more comfortable with it, but he needs to do it at the MCG. They need to be able to bring their game to the MCG. And until we see that, and I know they're two games clear and percentage clear on top, until we see them do it at the MCG, there will always be that little asterisk. Can they go through Chicago and beat the Hawks at the MCG? That'll be the discussion all year.
Yep, I get that. Pick 20, he was half in his draft. Nice. And everyone says, how does he go pick 20? But every club passed on him, basically. So they actually picked Morabito with their first pick. So they even passed on him first. They pick him, and you question why he went so late. And the reason is there wasn't a lot of exposure. He hadn't played a lot of footy. He played a lot of school footy. And the other thing, he was so skinny. He's 190 now. He probably wasn't 190 at that age, but he was a marking forward. So it was a bit of, okay, where's he going to play at AFL level?
Yeah.
Now, it must be doing recruiters'
wherever
heads.
Wherever he wants.
Must be doing recruiters' heads in trying to find the next Nat Fyfe, because he didn't stand out. He was one of those guys that didn't stand out and wasn't an obvious pick. So if anyone questions why he went at pick 20 and, you know, Carlton supporters be going, why would we pick Kane Lucas over Nat Fyfe? Well, you know, most clubs.
We couldn't find a spot for him.
I hope I'm not talking out of school. I hope this wasn't told to me in confidence, because if it was, I'm about to go with it.
Preamble.
He was very close to ending up at GWS.
Was
he? They put a big offer in for him.
When?
When Soss, I spoke to Steve Silvani about it, and he said they
so given up who it was.
Put a big offer in for him, but not...
After what year?
I'm not sure of the year. You'd get me on that.
A couple of years ago,
probably,
was it?
There
was
probably after 2011, which was your second year.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember an interest from that side of the country for Nat Fyfe.
Wouldn't that have been some sort of get? I mean, you can argue, would they be the player that we see now if they go to a different club? But, gee whiz, wouldn't that have been a coup? Oh.
Would have been unbelievable.
The other thing that stands out to me, he's so hard to tackle.
I hope
so,
wasn't in confidence.
Bad luck now.
His disposal efficiency is 65% when he's tackled. So when he's under physical pressure, which is the third best in the comp. Lockie Neal's number one, Robbie Gray second, Fyfe, Watson, and then Shuey. So he's got the all-round game except for those... Just the kicking, but it has improved this year.
The one stat that always comes up with the stars in the game, the very, very pointy end of the elite, the top 10, top 5 players in the game, they all break tackles. All of them break tackles. Gary Ablett's done it for years. Franklin does it. The bigger midfielders are impossible to tackle at the moment. You compare him to Kuda. Kuda would do it. You know, Cousins, all these guys that they're in their prime, Chris Judd, you can't lay a glove on them. They break tackles, and I think it's got to the stage now where you can't waste your time tagging Nate Fyfe. You've actually got to put a damaging player against him and just try and score the other way, or try and get some offensive impact the other way. Otherwise, it's almost futile wasting a player on him.
Was Hurdy ever in close to those categories, Luffy, that top 10 ground ball, top 10 contested marks?
Hurdy's
must
peak.
Must have been close.
Yeah. No. Well, Kuda's the only one that came in the top 10 and was up there. I mean, Hurdy could mark it, but he didn't take contested marks on a regular basis. I wouldn't have thought. He was more ground level.
Mm. All right, that's Nate Fyfe. Just back to your modes of play topic before. Yep. You were talking about the Kangaroos when you were mentioning this modes of play. Mm-hmm. Are we seeing different modes modes of play that are different from teams from last year to this year? And is it affecting them adversely or positively?
Well, I think the biggest jump has been the GWS Giants. Their ability to now move the ball at breakneck speed out of their back line and score. They're clearly number one in the competition, Luffy, from scoring from defensive half. And they've got this half-back line now that win the ball back at will. Haynes has been an absolute sensation.
He's fast Nick Haynes.
Becoming my favourite half-back flanker in the comp. He's sure is in outstanding form at the moment and kicking the lights out of the ball. He's actually taking risks again, which we saw him do a few years ago, and he's exactly what Collingwood need. So they'd be sort of ruining that move. And then they've got Davis to come back in, Bunting, who just is an absolute warrior.
Great interceptor.
And Patful, who's just steadied the ship down there and organising them. Yep, you go here, you do this, you do that. Taking the best talent the opposition have got, and then still winning the ball back for them. It's onwards and upwards for the Giants, and their ball movement at speed now is probably something that's gone up 20-30% on last year.
Have they got a hole on their list at all?
Have they got a hole?
Can you think of one?
I still think there's a doubt, and I'll get smashed for this. I still think there's a doubt as a forward target who stands under a high ball. I don't know if they've got that player yet.
Not at the moment.
Johnny Patton's got a bad knee.
Yeah, well, and we still need to see him come back and be able to do what he does. It's a big injury he's coming back from. Cameron's a sensation on the move. And his ability is a bit like Jack Riewoldt to get him behind defenders and make them pay is fantastic. But in big games, we're talking about the pointy end of the year, and I know you've got a discussion to bring up in a moment, but if they get into a final at the MCG, they are going to need someone that under pressure you can dump the ball to, that'll be ugly, it'll be high, and there will be heat on with defenders coming at you. So right now, you'd probably say that's the only query.
Yeah, the first thing that I thought, if Mumford goes down, who's the backup ruckman? But apart from that, they've, you know, Davis being in there, Paffel, just one of the best recruits of the year, I would have thought. So
huge.
It's going well. It is. It's frightening. It is absolutely frightening how good this list is. Well, good to watch.
They are good to watch. That's one of the things, and I think that ball movement's spot on about them. Just quickly before we get to the break, the Brisbane situation, there's been a change in the last couple of weeks. Have we been able to focus on certain areas of their play that's altered in the last couple of weeks to get those positive results?
Yeah, fellas are back, aren't they?
The kick-to-handball ratio has gone through the roof, so they're kicking the ball more, they're kicking it long, and they're going forward. And what they're doing, they're just getting it into the forward line and creating stoppages. The forward half stoppages have gone through the roof. It was 32 in the first five rounds. Now it's 57, and they scored 7 of their goals from forward half stoppages last week. So I think they recognise, okay, seven. For us to 7.
An average would be about 2, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's forward half, remember? Forward half, sorry, 50. Okay. But
Little correction there.
I think they've recognised that, okay, they haven't got the gorillas up forward to take those marks. They've been struggling to score. Let's just get it in there, lock it up, set up our press or whatever.
Which is what they weren't able to do in the first 5 weeks of the year.
So I think they've dumbed it down a little.
He's shown us the answer, Leber, hasn't he? Throw a player or two into the lockers and things will come together.
Is that a ball movement thing?
I think they can beat the Bombers this week.
Ball's moving. What's that?
I think they can beat the Bombers this week. There you go.
Is your mic on?
You know that we're on air, right? Don't you? You know that this is live.
Deja vu.
Do you want to put
4 weeks ago,
you
asked me about Collingwood.
Want to put a mattress on it?
Oh, I think it's impacting a lot of players. Look, I don't think it's the club's word. It seems they've got out there in the press and all of a sudden it's become the hip word. And I don't care who you are or what you are. There's a little man in the back of your brain that says, if this is a rebuild, and obviously I've put pen to paper for 5 years, 4 years or 3 years, or I've come to this football club and I've signed a 2-year contract or 3-year contract, it's very difficult then to disassociate yourself with what's in front of you and really what has been said. So it's a massive job by all our staff to get the confidence up to win games of football.
That was Mick today, coach of the Blues, of course, at the press conference. He's not quite sure that he's going through a rebuild, Kingy, and lucky here for Pure Footy.
Okay,
just identify whether or not, in fact, it is a build?
This is the problem. Carlton have never accepted where they're at.
Didn't they do that though a couple of months ago and say, right, eh?
Well, how can you have the senior coach saying something different 5 weeks later? I thought they said it after about round two.
Yeah.
We are now in the throes of a rebuild.
Yep.
It must have been a 5-week rebuild. That's the quickest rebuild we've ever seen.
Hasn't worked.
Well,
at the minute.
We don't know yet.
Well, no, from the 5-week sample size we've got since that point, it's not going well.
What players
what's
are thrown
going on
up?
There?
What players what?
What players are thrown up, do you think?
Thrown up with what?
Well, the Blues. I mean, so to rebuild, what do you have to do? You've got to get early picks.
Yeah.
It's a delicate balance because you can't lose any of your good ones. And if Ralphie was talking about it today in the Herald Sun, that he thinks that Lucky Henderson is sort of mentally moving on.
Is he?
That's what Ralphie said today with KB.
What would you get for Lucky Henderson?
First rounder.
Have to.
You'd be giving up a first rounder for him every day of the week.
Yep.
And that's where.
But then you got your balancing act of he's one of the shining lights. Can you afford to lose that in
how long
exchange
before,
for a round one pick that might be 5 years away from being any good?
How long before they're top eight, top six, top four competitive again?
Oh, long.
5 years?
Yeah, probably.
Well, they've got players like, everyone talks about Gibbs and Murphy. I don't think they're going anywhere. But then you've got players around that age bracket, you talked about Henderson. Who else have they got that's the guns? I'm just trying to think of the commodities. Jamison's 28. You've got to make a decision on him. You've got Walker, who's 28. Now, Yaron's 24. He's a bit younger. Keeping him because he'll be there when they come good.
Right.
It's more the players like Walker.
Dale Thomas.
I'm not sure Dale's going anywhere.
But what's the point of keeping him?
Well, but who's going to take him at the price?
Well, you'd have
for
to.
Another 2 years at the price. What would you get put out?
A bit like the Ryan Griffin situation. You might have to pay some of the salary cap somewhere else.
What would you get for him? And would he be valued to a top eight team that have a genuine chance in the next 3 years?
Not on what I've seen. Not on what I've seen this year. Saw him
last
week.
All reports.
Run around and just not get near it.
Yeah. All reports his preseason was huge. And then he gets injured in the first 2 minutes.
Yep,
so it's hard to judge this year.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
If he got his body right at 28, how much value would he be to a contending team, Kingy?
Well, it's a good question. It's a really good question.
And what would you get for him?
Well, I don't think there'd be many suitors. I really don't think there would be many.
Not unless there's a significant chunk coming
not
from
unless you've been,
Icon Park.
Yeah, and not unless you've been banned from the maybe the top first two draft pick rounds, like the Swans have been. Swans are in trouble with their trading, aren't they, at the moment? That's been sort of chopped and changed over the last couple of years. But these are the players that we talk about. Henderson's 25. Gibbs and Cruiser are 26. Now, Cruiser would get some interest. Murphy, Jamison, Thomason, all 28. Walker, 29. They're the only ones of real, genuine ability to draw first round or high second round sort of selections. But it's an awkward situation they find themselves in. Yeah. This is probably why Mick's saying it's not a rebuild, because they really aren't going to trade, I wouldn't have thought, Lockie Henderson.
No. I'd be staggered. He wouldn't be a free agent. He's out of contract end of the season. He wouldn't be a free agent. So if somebody were to come knocking, they'd have to do a deal with the Blues and make it a very solid deal.
It's every time I hear Mick speak, I feel for him, because he's in a really awkward position right now.
Mm-hmm.
But when he speaks as the Carlton Football Club, I often wonder whether that's Mick's thoughts or whether that's Carlton's thoughts.
Yep.
And this is the danger now, the grey area they find themselves in, is that Mick's going to say a lot of things that are going to suit Mick, because that's what coaches do. Yep. This is not a go at Mick. That's just what coaches do. We hear Roosie talk about Melbourne are playing and they're young and this was. They're not that young. They're ninth, as we said before.
They're very tired, though.
Sometimes they're very tired and their fans are very emotional. But when you hear Mick speak about Carlton, I often wonder, is this a unified, united message? Is this the Carlton Football Club speaking, or is it Mick? And I think today, I think we heard from Mick.
It's certainly a situation that's going to be very much of interest to footy fans through the rest of the season. Luffy, you're talking about great interceptors before. You mentioned, who were we talking about? It was
Nick Haynes.
Nick Haynes from GWS. You found another one, you reckon?
Oh, no.
Harris Andrews?
Yes.
Lions. He plays for Brisbane, everyone. So not everyone would know, but he is a new guy. He's actually the equal youngest player in the competition, along with Liam Duggan. He's taken 8 intercept marks in the last 2 weeks. Now, I know it's only 2 weeks.
Small sample.
But I've found with these guys that become the best interceptors in the competition, they do it early. And when you see them do it early, it generally continues. Now, this guy was a ruckman and a centre-half forward as a kid. And our guys who cover the kids stuff haven't seen him play defence. Now, I reckon he's been really, really impressive. So they may have just found one out of nowhere, which is great. And Paparone's the other one who's taken 8. So they have improved the lines. Now, I want to ask you two a question.
Yes.
Okay.
Round 7, so it's a nice sample size.
I don't like when he does this.
Top 4. If you were to say who's going to make top 4, who can you pencil in?
Fremantle.
At the end of the year? Fremantle, there's one. Can you any others?
Hawks,
there's two.
Well, they sit 4 and 3, good percentage.
I think Sydney.
I've
got the heater back on there. I'm warming.
Yeah, I'm warming
to
as
Sydney.
Well.
Yep.
So the I've got those on. Three. To pick the fourth, there's question marks on every side. So Port was the obvious choice at the start of the year. Now they're on the back foot, 3 and 4, not playing well at all. So you got West Coast, who have surprised everyone.
Yep.
Is everyone convinced?
Nope.
No.
Crows, got a massive injury list.
Yep. Nope.
GWS?
I'm semi-convinced about the Crows.
Are you?
Oh, he's on board.
You got heated seats? Well, just warming the tush?
You didn't sort of warm to them. You were all over them for 3 weeks and then you're off.
It's a recipe for disaster, predicting this AFL season from what we've learned so far in the first seven rounds. But we've tried to look forward 15 rounds and come up with a top four. We've locked three in. So we've had a leap of faith at times.
This is the worst question you've ever asked.
It's a leap of faith, and we had Freo and Sydney and Hawthorn in the top four. Who's the other fourth spot belong to? You suggested or threw up names. You threw up a West Coast, Adelaide, and who's the other one? GWS. You had a bit of a smile on your face when you said that, but you said GWS. Where's the Bulldogs? They've got to be in the mix, don't they? The Kangas says Kangas. They're in the mix.
Well, they're the obvious one, I would have thought, North.
Obvious?
Obvious, sorry.
I'm not sure they're obvious, are they?
I didn't mean to be obvious.
Are they obvious?
Well, people were picking them top four at the start of the year.
Yeah, but they're not exactly...
Now, the rest of them, we weren't.
Well,
I was saying Adelaide, but no one was there.
He's back on.
He's had a look.
Sample size.
Can we just talk about West Coast?
Can I
one little switch of players can be so effective. Elliot Yeo goes from a medium defender, or about a 190 defender, and we thought, well, all those guys going down, he'll have to play in the big gorillas. Nah, he's put him into the midfield as of round four. He's playing as that forward and mid. 24 disposals he's averaging. He's kicked six goals, taken six contested marks, and he's the second-ranked Eagle. Wellingham goes back, and he's third in the comp in the last month for intercepts. So that little switch has been really good, and they've done a great job, you have to admit, King.
They've been waiting for a while for William to find a role, haven't they? I mean, he's had his injury concerns.
He's been terrible at West Coast since he got there.
Yeah, he hasn't had really defined role or been any good in that role.
I don't think he was 100% applying himself to his footy in the initial stages of when he went there.
Right.
I think Simo had to give him some tough love. He did that, and now he's got the player that he thought he always had. He's done a great job, Simo, with his coaching over there. I mean, we haven't seen a coach this year being thrown so much adversity in terms of losing star factor. Mm. He had the captain retire halfway through last year. So everything was going against them. And he's found ways to win. Now, they've got a great draw.
They have a terrific draw.
But I think there's one stat that at the end of the year, whenever you're talking about why do these teams have good years, it's they use the fewest players, which basically means you've got
a healthy
list.
I'm a big believer in
that. And I'll give you a little head run at the moment. Sydney have only used 25 players, least in the comp. Fremantle, 26. The Adelaide Crows, now that Luffy's back on, have only used 27. And then there's four teams have used 29, and that's the Giants, the Pies, the Kangaroos, and the Bombers. It'll come from those.
So 5th, 7th, 9th, and 11th on the ladder have used the 4th least.
I'm not giving up on Essendon getting rolling. I'm not giving up on them. I'm not.
Loves it.
I'm refusing.
Why are you embracing the Bombers?
I'm refusing to give up on them, Glenn. I know you have. I know you don't like them. I'm not sure why.
No, I love the Bombers.
I know you don't like them.
Fairly critical of their ball movement, the way they've played the game in recent times, though.
Last week, they showed us what they can do. I want to see them become more free-flowing and get rid of the safe footy. Safe doesn't win games anymore. Safe's gone. And I think you'll see them really explode over the next few weeks, Luffy, and get going.
Well, that's going to be a concern.
The Brisbane game.
So it's effectively UV Luffy this week because Essendon play Brisbane.
He's kidding himself.
And Luffy has put it in a lock. It's a lock that Brisbane will win that game.
He'll be retracting that. He'll be embarrassed about that statement when we open the show next Thursday.
Jeez, I hope so. Pure Footy every midday on a Thursday till 1 o'clock with David King and Glenn Luff, the reluctant hero and the world's greatest footy analyst.
That's amazing viewing.
What's that?
On my couch. Have you seen it?
What's on my couch?
Rowan Connolly.
Oh, that's Rowe's little show.
It's a must watch.
Must watch footy sort of stuff. It's on Periscope. Is that
Buzz Lightyear's on there.
Sorry?
Buzz Lightyear. You've got to watch it.
Well, I haven't watched
Molly
it
yet. Molly Meldrum would say,
do yourself a favour. Are you getting some insight into the game? Would you give him as part of the Pure Footy team?
I've watched 4 minutes of it, and we haven't got to footy yet. Just met the panel.
Well, I'll tell you what we are looking forward to next week on Pure Footy. The stoush of all time. It's bigger than Mayweather Pacquiao. It's Essendon Brisbane on Sunday, and it's King v. Luff. And I can't wait to find out who the winner's going to be.
Go, Royce.